to the Developer Podcast. I've got a couple of guys on the East Coast that have built an interesting open source project that I wanted to bring on the show for you guys. It's going to be related to Gears and Rails. First off, could you guys introduce yourselves to the listeners?
My name is Mike Marcus. I'm full-time working for a small technology consulting company in New York, and I just completed the Master of Information Systems program at NYU.
Hi, my name is Ray Ma, and I'm a Ruby on Rails developer, and recently I just finished my master's degree in NYU.
Great. So what is this open source project you guys worked on?
Our project is called Google Gears on Rails. Our goal is to let developers to build their offline version of their website without knowing anything about Gears or even learn new techniques.
Okay, interesting. So you can obviously build a Rails app and then just use JavaScript to access the Gears APIs to, you know, hit the local server to cache things offline, the database, etc. So you said there that it's about not even having to understand the Gears APIs. What are you doing semantically and like with the abstraction to let developers be able to do this stuff offline without having to get into the details?
Okay, so what we've done basically is two things. We've tried to do as much native Rails code as possible to basically frame the JavaScript portion of Gears. And then on the JavaScript side, we've created an API that looks syntactically a lot like Ruby, so that the JavaScript that developers do need to write is very comfortable to them and it's something that they can learn very easily.
Yes, and they don't need to worry about the data between the data synchronization between server and the clients and the database schema updates issues like that.
Okay, interesting. So have you wrapped things kind of in an RJS kind of way then? Is that what you mean by making it look like Ruby to wrap the JavaScript?
All we've done so far, I mean, it's really just a proof of concept. We're not using RJS specifically. What we are doing, we've made use of a framework called Jester that already existed. It allows you to do RESTful calls basically through JavaScript. And so that's essentially what we built on, is this notion that you can do things like create, edit, destroy records on a database through JavaScript. And as far as actually integrating the JavaScript into Rails, we include our JavaScript files in your project, and then you have access to this API.
Yes, as I said, because our framework takes care of all the underlying works like database synchronization and the generation of Google Gears manifest file. So the developers don't need to worry about the detail works. They only need to write like Ruby-like JavaScript, and they just follow the same developing experience which they are using on Ruby on Rails.
Okay, interesting. So is this a Rails plugin that you installed to get going with this?
Yes, it's a Rails plugin.
Okay, and so you install the plugin just the normal way, and then do you have new RHTML tags to tie into the local side of things, or do you just use the same old tags and you kind of sit on top of them? How does it actually work? What's the developer doing there?
Yes, we have some new tags, like link to local, and we have some debug tags to say current online setter and current Gears setter, etc., like that. And we also have our API document available on our website. If developers are interested, they just can go ahead and check.
And so you automatically do detection on if the browser is online or offline, is that right?
Yes, that's true. So we build this mechanism that detects our current starter. So our framework can just switch between online and offline version.
Okay, and how are you doing that? Are you pinging back to your web service every now and then? Is that how you're determining whether you're online or offline?
Yes, right now we are just using the ping method, but it's not a very efficient way. But as we have said, it's a proof concept project, so right now we are just using this method. But as Fireworks 3 just released, the online setter has been supported by Fireworks 3, so this feature can be implemented by a browser itself.
And then you said that you have built-in synchronization. What do you actually mean by that? What kind of sync algorithms do you have, or what's the architecture there for doing the syncing?
Basically, because we are using REST REST protocols, so we keep track of our all the actions when we are offline. So on the local database, we have all the offline action histories, and once we go back online, we just execute that queue of history. Then all the data will just go through the server actions again, like update or delete or add new, and then the data will be synced.
Okay, so you have a local queue of all of the actions that the person has done, and then if you're offline, obviously it doesn't get back to the server. As soon as you go online, you start replaying that queue back to the server side.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah.
Yes.
And that this allows us to take advantage of the native REST capabilities of Rails without building any additional pieces on the server side to actually do that synchronization.
When you've built an application using your framework, how complicated was it to take an app, say if you built just the online one and compared it to the offline one? How much extra work is it to get the app working offline?
I would say it's much less than you can imagine. It's just it's so our Ruby like JavaScript is very like the real Ruby. So if in terms of code lines, it's pretty much the same. So I think developers just can translate their Ruby codes line by line to their Ruby like JavaScript.
So what we're asking developers to do essentially is write local versions of their controllers in Vue. And because of the way the syntax is structured, the code looks a lot like the server-side versions of the controllers in Vue. The only difference being that the local views are making calls back to the local controller, which in turn acts against the local database. So you're basically doing the exact same thing in JavaScript on the local side that you're doing in Ruby on the server side.
Okay, so when you do a local action and you say, foo.findLocal, you're translating that to do a select from the local gears database. And so you've kind of like implemented Active Record locally.
Well, we actually did not need to. We found we had a very fortunate discovery in the Jester framework that had already been implemented by someone else. The name that unfortunately is escaping me at the moment. I'd love to give him credit because it's really an amazing framework. Essentially, it basically is a very very good implementation of a local active record. And so what we're doing essentially with find local is we're doing that select query, but we're also creating a JavaScript prototype object that you can then manipulate and get data from as though it were an active record object in Rails.
And so when I look at one of these actions, one of the things that jumps out at me is that there's these single quotes that wrap the code. Is that just you stringifying that code that you then like pass around later, or what's that about?
That's still in the progress. I mean, because right now actually the developers are writing JavaScript in Ruby language files, so actually the coded code are JavaScript, so it's actually a string, so we have to use two single quotes to code it.
Oh, interesting. So basically, you've got an action that has a string, and that string just happens to look like Ruby code that the Jester framework can then convert to JavaScript and do all of its magic.
Jester framework only implement the online version, and we implement the offline version. So, like in the Jester framework, it has a object.find, and we implement object.find underline local. So we put that in our local controller. Once the our framework switched to our offline version, our find local action take effects.
Where would you like to take things from here?
Well, I mean, at a high level, the next step is to really get it into a fully formed plugin that can be used with any Rails app. Obviously, we've got a lot of steps to take before we can get there. I think in the more immediate future, we'd like to really solidify the implementation and sort of clean it up, maybe add support for things like multiple models, and just really kind of expand what we've done into a more comprehensive implementation.
Yes, and make it more open source friendly.
You know, my past life was working on Rails applications. I still get to play with them. And so it was a real treat for me to have this come up from you guys. It's exciting to see what you've done already. And people can go, it's already up on Google Code under code.google.com/p/gears-on-rails, and people can check it out, play with it, and start building local apps with Gears. Thanks so much, guys, for taking the time to talk to us about it.
Thank you, Dion.
We are dreaming of a free world.